Time for Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit, Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. As at the end of every month, the last Wednesday of every month, we're joined by the city manager of Beloit, Jason Raby, to discuss what's taking place in the city of Beloit. And good morning, Jason. And it looks like we have dodged the severe weather from last night. And good to know, at least where I was at, I heard the tornado sirens go off. It's good to know the sirens were working. Yep. You don't really ever want to hear that sound. It can be a little bit annoying. It's also a little bit scary, but it also kind of shakes you mentally to go like, oh, yeah, this is real now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's different. You know, the nice thing is, you know, they test those what once a month or so, and, and we always hear those kind of like doing a fire drill in school. It's like, oh, is this, here we go again. Let's do this thing, and we kind of ignore it, but... Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like when it's real and we all see the storm, we all know it's coming, and that pops off, that means that they're seeing something. You know, they got spotters all over the county and the law enforcement, and so they're seeing stuff, and so it is real deal. So it's just part one of the tools in the toolbox. You know, obviously, a lot of our phones went off. You know, we can watch the weather. You're supposed to have weather radios, all those things. So, you know, those storm sirens are just one component of it. You know, especially they're really meant, you know, if you're outside or you're kind of away from those other tools that you'll be able to hear. And that's just another way to warn people and let them know. But, yeah, thankfully, everybody was safe. You know, in Beloit, we didn't get any of that real action. But, you know, where it was action, you know, thankfully, a lot of those people were safe, too, because I did see there was some damage out in some of those areas. But, yeah, it's been a crazy year so far.
Yeah, we might be just getting started. That's the other part of the equation. We'll cross our fingers and hope, but we avoided the worst that could have taken place, because we see this on TV a lot, of a town being struck by a tornado. And last night, it could very well have been one of our towns here in north central Kansas. So we dodged the bullet there. It was kind of funny because my oldest son, you know him, he's about to turn 13. And so I was outside monitoring the situation. I have neighbors who moved to the area from California, so they're fascinated by this weather. And I was out there for a while, and I'm looking, and I'm not saying I'm a trained meteorologist. I'm not, but I have an idea what to look for, maybe more so than the layperson. And so, you know, I told my family, listen, go ahead, take the kids downstairs to the basement. And then my oldest was kind of, you know, looking a little bit too. And I said, hey, well, if I yell, you run downstairs. And so anyway.
Real scientific.
Yeah, I know. Real scientific there. But and so he something learned in school, apparently, to where you should have a pair of shoes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you should have a pair of shoes to take with you to the basement or to your shelter because, and he took down a pair of shoes for like everybody in the family, whether it be sandals or shoes, whatever he grabbed. And it makes sense because he said, if you are struck by a tornado, then you have shoes on your feet so that you do not step on the debris.
You
could have nails, you could have glass, whereas you have shoes, you know, that at least protect your feet. I'm like, well, that makes total sense. Yeah. I hadn't really heard that one.
That
before.
Is a smart one. And yeah, another one I've heard too. And my wife was actually saying this the other day, she did this and I didn't even know it because I don't, she's from Texas, which is a tornado place, but I don't know if it's Midwest people. Like I'm more of a, okay, I'm going to go find this thing, you know?
Where's it at so I can see it coming?
I saw a good meme on Facebook. Yeah. It was like, you know, I'm going to see it and invite it in for coffee.
Yeah, right.
You know, exactly. Right. You know, it's just weird that way, I guess. But, you know, but she said that, yeah, she'd actually pack a bag. Mm-hmm. It's just a small bag down the basement because she's heard of people, you know, get trapped in the debris. So they're down there for a while, whatever, who knows, you know what I mean? But there's just all sorts of, it's probably a good point. Or your stuff's just gone. You know, at least you have a little duffel bag tied to you that when your house blows away, you still at least have some clothes or maybe some bottles of water and who knows, you know what I mean? Because some of the time, you know, as we've seen on other towns in the area or in the Midwest this spring, you know, they're, could be a day or half a day or a day and a half, 2 days before, you know, people can even get to them to help them, you know, and so it's probably good to have a little emergency bag in your tornado.
That's a great idea.
Storm area to kind of be ready.
A great idea. I think I make sure that the cookies, the Doritos.
Yes. All those things. I don't care.
Essentials,
calories.
Bottled water, whatever. Have maybe some snack or bottle water would be very important, I would imagine. And then, you know, we were like, get your valuables. Like my kid's like, well, I'm getting my money. You know, I got my wallet. And then he went, and we have a safety deposit box, you know, and he went and found that and took that downstairs, my oldest did, which was fine.
He's on it.
You know, he's on it. And so I go into my, go into where it was at, and I'm like, something looks different here. Why is all this stuff just thrown on the floor? Oh yeah, that's where he went and got the safety deposit box. I'm like, okay, everything's safe now. Can I get my stuff back? Because my sandals were missing because he had taken that stuff downstairs.
That's the problem.
But that's good. He's being responsible from that standpoint and interested. And
he can be your safety officer for the house.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's a good thing. But we do get caught up in the severe weather. Yeah. And I think nowadays with all the storm chasers, to where we are somewhat idiotic.
Yeah, too brave.
I'm probably one of those people last night, although I didn't ever feel like I was in any danger, but
sure.
I was paying attention and I saw what was going on. But at the same time, if you don't know much about the weather, what to look for, you should not be out there. You should take the necessary precautions, especially if you have your family and your kids, or at least get them to safety. But that's a great idea, is to have a duffel bag of stuff in case you are trapped under debris or whatever the case may be. Of course, you hope that if you have your phone on you, maybe you can make. But if your town's wiped up, electricity, this and that, or cell phone towers are down, may or may not work.
Yeah, you may not even be under debris. There's just nobody. You know, it's gonna take National Guard or whatever day to get there.
Right,
you know,
there's no service. That's possible. But hopefully, we don't have to ever deal with anything quite like that. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about the SRO, which is School Resource Officer. That's something that we've talked about before on the news or with you in the past, and now it sounds like it's going to be a reality. Explain that program.
Yeah. It looks like the school board, they were for it, and our council passed at their last meeting. And really, this is kind of it's going to be still a City of Beloit and City of Beloit Police Department position, but it's kind of a shared cost burden with it. You know, and currently our... we have police officers that have to interact with the school in different ways, especially with the Alternative Learning Center, and try to be a positive engagement with those various teachers and students and whatnot. So this kind of just formalizes what's been going on and tries to set, and it's a one-year, I don't know if trial is the right word, but it's a one-year agreement. So that way we can make sure that this is something that's going to work for schools as we think it's going to. And so I know that the school administrators really said, hey, we really want this guy to be kind of part of our family, part of the team. And so that's really what we're gaming for. You know, he's not there to be, some undercover guy and try to sneak around, that type of thing. We're really hoping, and that's really my goal, is just that it's a positive influence and kind of a relationship builder, and maybe it heads off things but also can keep everybody safe. And I think that's the big thing. No matter the school, the size of the school district, and we're fortunate that we can do something like this in our size of school district. It's trying to have that positive influence, but also from the safety aspect, because we kind of see it all over the country, and we just hope nothing like that ever happens in our area, and that this is just one more deterrent or way to help keep our kids safe and kind of have that positive interaction with law enforcement. So that'll be starting. They'll be going to a training. The police chief and him will actually take the training as a backup, the police chief, and just so that they know what is expected. That's done through the Law Enforcement Academy. Through the state of Kansas, so they get certified in that, and then they'll start at the upcoming school year. And so during times when school's not on, or during the summer and those types of things, and in emergencies, they'll still work shifts for the police department, those types of things, but otherwise they'll be kind of rotating between those different buildings and the different events. We have large track meets and football games and wrestling meets, and just to kind of have that presence there again, it's just I think going to be hopefully a positive, and that's what we're going to see how this goes for this year.
Well, I think it was something that needed to be done, in my opinion, and I think it's great that you guys are able to work together and make it happen.
Yeah.
And so we'll continue to follow that. You have an intern that's going to come into town and tell us what to do.
Yeah.
And tell us what all the things we're not doing right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
They're going to fix everything and solve
everything.
All our
that's
problems,
that's
right?
What I've told her. Yeah. So
perfect.
She's been here one day, and we'll see. When I get back to the office this
morning. Give her a week. She should have it all figured out.
See what she's got done. So.
Yeah. See if she's really been paying attention in class.
Yeah. We're really excited about this. City of Beloit, we were able, through Dane Hansen. Dane Hansen funds it, and that's what's great about this. So we get some really high-quality interns from the different universities in the state. Ours just happens to be from Kansas State University. You might have heard of it down Manhattan or something like that.
Purple is pretty
purple
prominent.
Or something. Yeah. But no, a great school. And thankfully, we have this gal's name is Kelsey DeWitt, and she's actually from Hayes. So she's familiar with Beloit. She's been here, played different sport, different things. So she's very familiar with Beloit, and also appreciative of you know, some of the things that we're proud of and, and do. So she is a architecture student, and so really a tough program at K-State, something that you know, you got to be a pretty serious student, takes a lot of time. So we're really excited to have her, because really we're going to have her focus on a couple of the different, not only our sports complex area and trying to figure out, hey, what's the best plan and use of this space, you know, with all the different ownerships and different, you know, fields everywhere and the needs. And as we both have kids in this thing, we see the need out there, and, you know, so what's the best bang for our buck, and something that can please the majority of the stakeholders in this thing. So, you know, we're going to have some stakeholder meetings, and she's got a whole schedule and agenda to try to get that pulled together to some sort of a master plan by the end of the summer. They'll be presented to council, and we'll have a public open house. We'll do all sorts of things with her on that. And then she's also going to work on Chautauqua Park. And again, there's some really cool potential there to kind of, you know, it's already kind of becoming a, we want that to be an even bigger hub for our community. You know, I mean, I think we saw a little bit after Memorial Day, we saw quite a good crowd go down there, and it always has, but, you know, even more formalized. So if we can keep building on that, and we have, you know, we have that old white building, but, you know, what's a modern version of that perhaps, you know, that again would get, you know, that building already gets used a lot, but I think with the right things, it could get used a ton, and it's a great setting, and kind of modernize that. So kind of with her ability to do that, you know, we've talked to, you know, I think your wife's been involved with, you know, like an accessible playground, a splash, but, you know, those different things. So where do you put all those pieces, you know, and how do you better connect our downtown to the park without, again, a lot of bang for the buck, you know, a lot of bang for the buck on this. So we get her services for free, you know, and that's pretty awesome. And so thank you to Dane Hansen again. So hopefully we'll see her around. We'll be taking her around places and getting her involved with stuff. And and so that's going to be really exciting.
Jason Raby, the city manager of Beloit, our guest on Community Matters, brought to you by the First National Bank of Beloit, Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. All right, so if you're a person out there that always complains, Jason knows where I'm going with this, and you complain about, oh, why didn't the council do this? Why did the council do that? Well, guess what? You can be a councilman. There's positions open, right, Jason?
Yes, council member, yes.
Yes.
yeah, council member, we do have some open positions. And, you know, obviously every position's up. We have some people are going to run again, but we have basically, if you'll remember, Beloit's gone to two wards. So there's two positions in each ward that are up for election this year. So yeah, if you're interested, and especially, you know, if you're the type of person, hey, I want to see Beloit continue to move forward and do different things, or yeah, I'm concerned about this area, then, you know, that's what you need to do. And you can step up and become a council member. We have, I think, at Ward 2, which is kind of more the northwest portion of the town, we actually don't have any incumbents running. So that one's even more open than the other one. But basically, you have till June 3rd to file your papers. So you have to get on it, which is
4 or 5 days,
which is a little bit of a challenge. But again, if you're really passionate about it, that doesn't take much to get that done. So you can pick up a packet either at the city hall or through the at the courthouse and get that knocked out. So I think it's something that's important for people to serve. I have been there. I've done that when I was, mid-20s, I think I started. I was on council for a couple of years, and I was mayor for a couple of years. So those things are important to do, and that's what helps a town keep moving forward. Is people willing with good expertise and good reasons and those things to run and to help make a difference. So
yeah, I you know, before you came here, the city council in Beloit, there were some, you know, there was maybe some issues from here and there in regards to just trying to get along, you know? And there people had some agendas, and that happens from time to time, but I do think that, you know, that has really calmed down here over the last so many years, and that's been a good thing, because that's allowed, I think, maybe a better working relationship all the way across the board.
It's kind of like we talked about our council. I mean, it's all of our town, you know, it's all of our issues, and so, you know, how can we all, you know, figure out how to fix this? And there's going to be people out there that have different expertises and different opinions, which is great. I think that hopefully we can continue to have a good team approach and take those different opinions, and even if there's disagreement, figure out how can we adjust and make that happen, you know. And I think that's what's actually kind of interesting, you know. Different personalities and different inputs are always good, you know, and because there's maybe not all of it's right, but there's a component of it that's like, oh, I never thought of that, you know. And so Yeah, so it'll be interesting. Hopefully we get some people to run and keep moving forward.
If you've ever said, if I were on the council, I would do this, well, here you go.
Yeah, here you go.
It's
it's ready made.
Opportunity. Yep. It's right there in front. You might not even be running against anybody.
Yep, put yourself out there. Yep.
Let's see, open house coming up?
Yeah. One thing I want to cover really quick, you know, we have that CDBG. We got that grant through the CDBG. Housing rehab and demo, and that was $300,000. And so, again, if you'll remember, that had to be a specific area, but it's still, again, it's in our town. It's a good chunk of area, so that's important. And hopefully, we are successful here. And in the coming years, we can keep, you know, biting off more chunks of the town. And this, again, we're going to have an open house in that targeted area. If you have a property or a property you want to tear down or a property you want to rehab, it might fit. You know, and again, you can come to our open house and learn more about it. The area is bounded by 8th Street on the north, east by Lincoln Avenue, and the south by 3rd Street, and then the west by Central Avenue. So kind of a square there on that kind of that western side of town. So again, I'll repeat that: 8th, Lincoln, 3rd, and Central. So I'm using hand motion, so hopefully you can see that on the radio. But
you kind of look like a mime, right?
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. A mime. Yeah. So that'll be June 26th, a Wednesday at 7:00. So hopefully, you know, hopefully note that June 26th, 7:00. It'll be in the municipal building. Downstairs in the trail room, we'll have some signs, but I think it'll be really important for you to come. It kind of gives you first crack at some of the, well, I shouldn't say first crack, we score everything, but it at least gets you right at the application. You can get it turned in right away and hopefully get that through. So it was a really successful program last time. I think it's going to be successful again this time. It's just it's a great way for especially small towns. Mm-hmm. You know, we all struggle with houses that get dilapidated or need to be torn down. It's just part of life. I mean, you get houses that are 100-120 years old, you know, and after a while people stop caring for them or just because of change of ownership or whatever happens. So this is a great way for us to kind of kick start, especially in this area, you know, trying to either rehab some of those so that people can stay in them. You know, we maintain our housing stock, but also potentially tear down some that are just too far gone.
Right. So. Okay. Anything else to add before we let you go?
No, I appreciate you letting me put all the spiels in today.
Yeah, so. not a problem. Jason Rabe, the city manager of Beloit, our guest today on Community Matters, brought to you, as always, by the First National Bank of Beloit and Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. And got lots of events. Your wife was in here last week talking about events coming up. We got the 8-Man All-Star Games next weekend, and of course, the Pep Rally. And then there's so much stuff coming up.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's ridiculous. Yeah, Lake Fest, I know it's coming up, right?
Yeah, that's coming very quickly.
Fireworks, and the Millpalooza will be here before you know it. So it's going to be a busy summer. Hopefully the weather starts cooperating. It looks like the next 10 days, maybe it's going to be nice.
Maybe, cross our fingers.
Got to get that lake to turn around and start going back out. You know what I mean? That'd be nice. Yeah. I know it's doing its job. But
sure, right.
I also want a boat on it sometime.
Yep, right. So. That would be nice. That would be nice.
Selfish there.
That and maybe
keep everybody safe.
Like baseball, softball games. Get a few of those in.
Yeah, that would be nice too.
Postponed or canceled. But we just do what we got to do.
That's right. It's part of life.
That's exactly right. Jason, thanks for the time. 8:05 is our time on a Wednesday, May the 29th, 2019.